This episode is brought to you by Disney+.
If you're loving the new original series Rivals, then Rivals, the official podcast, is a must listen.
Hosted by the brilliant Pandora Sykes, this is your go-to for exclusive insights into how the steamy world of Rivals came to your screen.
Pandora dives into the juiciest moments and sauciest scenes alongside the creative masterminds behind Rivals, from executive producer Dominic Treadwell Collins to actors Danny Dyer and Emily Attek.
Listen to Rivals, the official podcast, but make sure you've streamed Rivals on Disney Plus first. You can't escape spoilers. Rivals, an original new series now streaming exclusively on Disney Plus.
Copyright 2024, Disney and its related entities. 18 plus subscription required. Learn more at DisneyPlus.com.
I feel like I'm missing out because everyone is either starting a side hustle or becoming their own boss. And you know what they're hearing a lot? It's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're selling flaky salt or fine art prints, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so you can successfully grow your business. Covering all your sales channels, from a shop front-ready point-of-sale system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform. Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And thanks to award-winning help and with an extensive business course library, Shopify is ready to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/Wondery, all lowercase. Go to shopify.co.uk/Wondery to take your business to the next level today. shopify.co.uk/Wondery.
Turning an idea into a small business doesn't happen by accident. You need to be all in. At Constant Contact, we have the digital marketing tools you need to get the word out, close the sale, raise the funds, and gather a community around this thing you've built. So let's do this together. Let's send this, share this, and shout this from the rooftops. Let's segment this, automate this, and AI this for real results fast. Let's get out of this what we put into this. Let's build this. Let's grow this. Let's win this. Get started today at ConstantContact.com.
Hello and welcome to Watch Our Crappins, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the handsome and lovely Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm at a super weird angle today because I'm in the car and I've got an extension cord coming down the balcony and through the car window. And I'm doing this on an iPad and reading this from an iPhone. Oh, move-in day. It's move-in day. Yeah.
I love this angle on you. And the reason why is because this is the angle that every movie in the 80s would take whenever they filmed people in a stretch limousine. You know, anytime it's like, let's drive down to Wall Street. They put a kid, they climb into a stretch limo. And for some reason, they always shoot them from this angle. So you just look like
kneecap. It looks like I have a gigantic wiener sticking at the, because I'm wearing like a khaki short. It is not a giant ball sack, everybody. It is actually a knee. Okay, angles are funny.
You know, it's just funny because you're in the front of your car, but it looks like you're actually being driven somewhere. It looks like you're in the middle of
a SUV. Look at this ridiculousness. There's a cord coming in through the window. It's hanging down from the balcony. There's going to be guys out here getting stuff. It's finally time to move into this place, which I'm super excited to do, but it's turned into mayhem as usual, because nothing with me is just like peaceful. And then it happens great. You know, it's been like yelling at workmen and then praising workmen and then crying in a closet and then dealing with Bueller, who thinks I'm leaving town or something because I'm moving all this clothes. And so he's crying and running in circles. And now I'm reading notes off my cell phone. So if I start, you know, if I get an Amber Alert or something, I'm going to have to respond to it.
Well, I would hope so.
Someone help Amber. Have we still not helped Amber? And how many events has it been? Let's help poor Amber. Find
poor
her.
Amber. Well, it's Tuesday. Life is great. We've been talking about this Patreon change up, going to monthly. It's happening as we speak. The techs, the techie people at Patreon are working on it right now. The conversion is happening. By the time this episode airs, it may have already happened. We now may be living a new monthly Patreon lifestyle. So if the confusion about our Patreon interface was keeping you away from having the full Crappens experience, then rest assured that it should hopefully be much more streamlined and joyful for you. So keep it. Go check that out. Patreon.com/WatchWhatCrappens. That's a shameless, okay. Yet another shameless plug. But for right now, today, we are talking about Below Deck Sailing Season 5, Episode 4. The episode is called Mermaid, A Big Miscake. Wow, whoever named this episode.
They stretched.
Standing ovation. Standing ovation. Mermaid, A Big Miscake. Thank you to the intern that they're like, I can't think of a name. I don't know what we call this episode. What about Peter? Do you have an idea? Peter, this is your moment. Okay, make all your friends at Northwestern happy. What is the name of this episode? And Peter's like, Mermaid, A Big Miscake. Peter, you are a genius. You're getting a job here. When you graduate, you are going to become an associate producer of Below Deck Sailing. Congratulations.
All right, let's get going on.
Ronnie's like, what's going on with Ben this morning? Why is Ben doing a dramatic reenactment? Why is Ben doing a dramatic reenactment?
He made it.
I know. You know what? His internship, he's going to go back to Northwestern, and he's going to have a lot of tales to tell.
I like that you make him go to a fancy school, too. He's not just, he's really shooting to a low place from a high place.
I just feel like
he's like, I just really want to make a good mermaid title, you know? I finally got into Northwestern. That's all I want.
They're like, Sarah, how was your summer? It was great. I interned at an investment bank, and I think I'm going to become a summer associate next year. How about you, Peter? I was on Below Deck Sailing. I came up with a name called Mermaid, A Big Miscake.
Yeah. Peter's like, I run Bravo now, basically. So like, lots of just, you know, all it took was a few dashes and some maid puns, and I did it.
Mermaid, A Big Miscake.
You know, this is what has me worried. You know that Whitney song, I Believe That Children Are Our Future, Let Them Lead the Way?
I am familiar with it, yes.
That was a great song, and it was also a lie, okay? Because this is our children. These are our children. This show, that man bought a cake from a store and put it in a microwave, and then he served it. You know, Whitney, what are you thinking now? I hope Whitney was in heaven walking below deck, and she said, you know what? I take that all back. I believe the children are our downfall. Teach them well and lock them up until they learn to make a cake and not buy one from a store. Come on, man.
I legitimately thought you were about to lecture the fictional children, Peter and Sarah, at Northwestern University.
No, I'm attempting to move on from Peter. And you're not going to let me. You're still in your Peter van sitting out in front of the building with the car.
Oh, well, you know, Peter. But, you know, it was just like, it was on the heels of that, you went into a Whitney Houston and the children. So I was like, wow, he's actually upset at the theoretical children right now. But we have an actual child on the show who is baking cakes. Yeah, he really fucked that up. Why? Like, you know, Emma really summed it up where she said, why would you heat up the cake in the first place? You can't frost a warm cake. That's just baking.
I know that. And I've only been a chef 4 times in my life. You know, I'm very good at whatever I do. Poor Emma had a really depressing episode today. I almost felt bad for her. But then I was like, no, I guess Emma's just kind of a loopy sad sack. And that's why she's had 97 jobs. Because, you know, at the beginning of this, when she's like, I'm so good at everything I do. I've done ballet teaching, professing. I've produced a show for Northwestern University. Well, it's about puns, basically. And she's done like every job in the world. And my first thought was, that doesn't mean you're good at things. That means you're not good at a lot of things, right? Because you have to keep moving on to new jobs. And I think she's suffering from a case of the mopes. That's what I think. It's hard for her to keep a job because she gets sad and then starts moping and then nobody can take it.
Yeah, plus she already lived the high life working in real estate. Cue the photo from last week of her holding up a martini in a cocktail dress. The glamorous world of real estate.
So real estate-y.
Yeah, poor Emma. Poor Emma. I feel like she's not long for this boat, which is too bad because I like her dry British humor, even though she doesn't seem to be very good at what she's doing. But, you know, that happens. So last week where we left off, cliffhanger, Clois has decided that he's going to go frolic with the guests on the Seabob, despite the fact that there's only 20 minutes until the meal is ready. And, you know, he was like, yeah, whatever, I'm just going to roast some chicken. Let me tell you something about chicken. It takes more than 20 minutes to roast, okay? Like you, this,
not the little ones. Those are 12 minutes. Not to stick up for Clois, but.
What you mean, like
a little chicken?
Well, I mean, like, if you're doing a chicken thigh, which he wasn't doing, he was doing chicken breast, but chicken thigh is going to take 30 to 35 minutes. Chicken breast, okay, maybe chicken breast takes 20 to 25. I don't know. I actually never roast chicken breasts. But the point is this, 20 minutes is a very small window for getting back on the boat. He has to get showered. He was just swimming in ocean water. He has to shower and then cook this shit. So this is going to be a disaster.
You know, the weird thing is I just always, and it's such a stereotype, and it really does teach you to not stereotype people because that's really bad. America, don't stereotype people. Because I assume that dorks are going to do things correctly because they're dorks. You know what I mean? Like, what else is the point of being so nerdy? I mean, you should be smart as well. You can't just be nerdy and then kind of dumb and make dumb decisions too. I need my nerds to be smarter than me. I don't need them to be dumber than me. Like, you're a nerd. You should know this. You should know how to roast a chicken properly and not go swimming, nerd. Come on, man. I thought nerds made the world go round. I'm disappointed in nerds and children today. There's a lot of disappointment in my
Ronnie,
heart today.
What part of the title, Mermaid, a Big Miscake, says that he did something right? It's in the title. He mermaid a big miscake.
So Glenn Ross. Cake is for closers.
Always be caking.
Always be caking. Emma's like, I know that phrase because I was in real estate. Martini, cocktail bar, cocktail dress.
Watch.
Yeah. What were we saying? Oh, yeah. So Glenn finds out and he's like, wait a minute. Why isn't there chicken being roasted? Hold on a second. Wait a minute. He's swimming. Get him back here. So he's screaming over the radios, which, by the way, I need you to scream in person like you scream on the radios. I don't like people who are just all chuff on the radio. And then in person, they're like, should you have done that, buddy? No, yell at him. Give him one. Bend him over. Spank him.
Yeah. Make him feel his miscake. So Glenn is like, you know, they're going to want to eat right away. How's he going to get the food ready? If you're going to, you know, if you're a bit young for the role that you're fulfilling, you should err on the side of professional. You should be the kind of person that's showing a little bit of extra maturity. I'm like, I would love to see the day that there's ever any sort of maturity from the staff on Below Deck Sailing, because it's been 5 years and we haven't seen it yet.
I don't think so. I think sailing is like the bottom of the barrel as far as like behavioral issues for crew people. It's like, well, you know, I've been kicked off. The first, it started with the cruise ships, got kicked off there. Then I went to the private yachting, and then I got kicked off there. Then I'm on the sailing. Well, I guess
there's commercial barges. There's like a like freighters or whatever, cargo ships, canoes,
right.
Yeah. Rowboats, dinghies, just inflatable pool floats, and then you wind up on the sailing.
You're naming a lot of things there aren't spinoffs about yet. You better watch your fucking mouth, because before you know it, Bravo is going to give us 30. It's going to be it's already Below Deck 24 hours a day on that network. We're going to
Below Deck raft,
Below Deck tugboat, trash barge. Hey, what are you doing hanging out in the city of Staten Island all day? We're supposed to be driving this trash barge. All right, I need you to be less drunk at work.
Trash barge. I'm surprised there actually is not like a Below Deck booze cruise, you know, or some. I'm surprised E has not done a spinoff, because that's what E would do. Bravo has Below Deck, you know, on a yacht, and E would be like, we're doing a booze cruise around Marina Del Rey. That's what I expect on E. Just putting that out there.
The slam E while we're at it. Mm-hmm. All right, young people, nerds, and E. Fuck all you guys, okay? And Whitney Houston for lying to us.
Big mistakes all around.
All right. Okay, so Glenn.
We're making big mistakes.
So let's see here. So he's like, I don't want them to suffer just because he's having fun. Get him back here. And he's like, no normal days around here. So then Gary goes to get Cloyce, and he's like, wow, I would happily do that many more times. No, sir, you're never going to do that again.
You will never
Shame
even touch
you.
Water.
That's your response? You are being yelled at on the radio. Don't you at least feel that you're in trouble? I know when I'm in trouble. I feel it in every tingle. And when that phone rings, I'm like, I knew I was in trouble today. And I just wait to get my ass chewed.
Yeah, exactly. And Daisy's like, it's our primary's birthday, and I feel like a mom trying to get my toddler out of a fucking jungle gym. Come on, Cloyce. Got lunch to make. Got a cake to make. Got 20 pizzas to make. She ain't turning 60 again.
So she must not live in Los Angeles. We'll turn the same age 20 damn times over here.
Must not be Karen Huger.
So then, meanwhile, Danny is doing cabins and setting the table for lunch and stuff. And so then Cloyce returns. And meanwhile, Emma's having a smoke on the swim platform. Okay, a couple things. One, if you're young for the job, you need to try and prove that you're still good as the old people by working harder, right? That's what Glenn said. I think that if you're fucking up a lot at work, you shouldn't be sitting around smoking.
Yeah.
just a thought.
She's very emo, which is appropriate that her name is Emma. Close in spelling. She's just like sitting there every time they cut to her, she's smoking somewhere. I'm like, oh god, Emma's spiraling again. Come on, like, you just got in trouble. You at least like pretend like you're doing something. But she's sitting there like she smokes like she's from the 90s, you know, like that very much. Like I just listened to some college rock. And she's, you know,
some college rock as we were all doing back then.
She's like, Porno for Pyros, great album. So she's like,
I could really use some Juggalos right now. I'm like, is that 90s? What's it?
That's really remember. That's not an Juggalos is completely different than college rock. I just want to say, Crash Test Dummies, right. Am I right?
Oh, Crash Test Dummies, that's right. That's what I feel like right now. Just putting me in a junker, turning on the, slamming my foot on the brake and watching me crash into things and saying, Emma, you've crashed into things. It's as if it's my fault. As if you're not the one who put me in the front seat and crashed me into a pylon. Right, it's my fault. I suppose I'll smoke another cigarette out here and cry about it.
Crash I feel like he's sticking a knife in me and twisting it. A Shonen knife. Vivid band. Anyway, things feel amiss, or should I say, amos, Tori. Oh, love her.
All I've ever strived for in my life is to be a good apple, like Fiona. As Fiona would say. I don't know any lyrics, actually, from back then. But it just goes to prove, you know, I'm really, really bad with failure. It's something I've struggled with my whole life, you know. My sister's wonderful. My brother's wonderful. And then there's crazy Emma doing makeup at Coachella incorrectly. People asking for their money back from free makeup clown sessions at Coachella. That's really embarrassing, you know. And you're doing things for donations and people are still asking for money back. You never gave me money in the first place. I'm sorry I wonked up the glitter on your face, but we're trying over here, all right? Why don't you just call my sister to do it for you already? Do you have a cigarette for me? I'm out of those as well.
She's slowly segueing into her Frances McDormand arc in Nomadland. I just want to point out, like, like, she will be doing that movie soon. Like, that will be happening, and I will be crying. So, 15 minutes. I mentioned that movie a lot. I don't know why I mentioned it so much. It really has, like, rocked. That movie rocked my world 2 years ago, and it's, like, the slowest movie where nothing happens, where the biggest thing that happens in that movie is that David Strathairn breaks a pile of plates, and I was like, that fucking bastard. And you know what? It has changed my life. So anyway, 15 minutes before lunch, so Cloyce comes back in and Glenn's like, oh, you're back, which is his passive aggressive way of being like, you shouldn't have been gone in the first place, Cloyce. And he's like, so what's the plan for lunch? If it even is lunch, maybe it's dinner right now. Maybe it's more like a late night snack because you got back so late. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to roast some chicken with a little lemon butter salmon. He's like, oh, yeah, you have enough time. He's like, yeah, 20 minutes should be enough time. It's not. It's not.
It's not enough time, you know? It's just not. And then Cloyce is like, well, I've had other bosses on other boats, like captains, and they're mostly Cali bosses, so they're, like, super chill and, like, laid back. So, like, he should get over it. Like, he's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. You're not in California, sir.
Yeah.
Okay? And how many bosses have you had? Give me a fucking break with your fake resume at 21. Okay. I get that you started working at 16, but you've done everything for 20 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was a 20-year-old who lied about his resume constantly. It's the only way I got jobs in New York. You know, you have to have experience. So I would go into jobs at 18 years old with like 3 pages of resume. I'm like, I worked here for 37 years. They're like, how old are you? 18. Yeah. I learned quickly. So,
yeah. Also, like, if you're just going to excuse your work ethic by saying, yeah, well, I was sort of like, it's a Cali sort of vibe. That's what I do. You're always going to lose. No one ever respects the Cali sort of vibe. Not even people in California. Like, no. Like that's never something you want to say ever. Like that should like keep it away from your LinkedIn. Keep it away from your job experience. Yeah. Do not say the Cali kind of vibe. Nobody that's wants not a positive Cali thing. Okay?
Yeah, no one wants it. Yeah.
No one wants it.
Yeah, they'll
no
specifically ask for not a Cali vibe. The only place they really want Cali vibes are like startups, you know, like Google, where they're like, oh, hey, well, Google's not a startup, but you know what I mean? Like an internet company that's like, we've got a playground in the lobby because we really believe that our employees need to like find their inner children in order to program the DOS for the Google Docs app. Okay, so if you see people singing, you know, ring around the posy, swinging back and forth a little bit, it's just because it's a Cali vibe. But nobody trusts them. And that's why their apps fall. Like, they'll put out an app and then they'll be like, we're discontinuing this app. And you're, God damn it, I've been working on this app for 3 months because you told me it was solid, Google. So some guy on a playing swing set decided that it wasn't worth it anymore. You and your fucking Cali vibes. That's my point. Nobody wants that.
Yeah, people like a Wisconsin vibe. If you say, you know what, I just work like that. I just have a Wisconsin kind of vibe with my work. Head down, just get that work done and play football afterwards, you know? And then everyone's like, yeah, that's what I want for my workers.
Yeah, I want like Amazon child worker vibes. That's what I want. Have you ever seen those videos? They don't stop those kids from working. They just work and work and work. They go to bed working. They're like, okay, you can go to bed for 5 minutes. They're like, okay. And then they're still like moving boxes in their bed, you know? That's the kind of vibe.
To be fair, that's also the same for Frances McDormand in Nomadland when she worked at the Amazon Fulfillment Center.
She did not.
She's sitting there. She's putting tape. She's like, hey, Sue, how's your day going? How good to see you. Okay, just, you know, pretty rough holiday rush. Am I right? Okay, pass the tape. She's like, package, 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 package.
Another Prime Day? Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to live out of my car. I can't take anymore.
Hey, Cindy, good to see you. You have a good night tonight? Good. Good. You can have fun with Chuck tonight? Well, if we ever get out of here, am I right? Okay, package, package, package.
You guys dated long enough to start calling him Charles yet? He can't wait.
Hey, do you have a stack of plates that are the only thing that remind you of your previous life and your previous husband when you're happy? Hope someone doesn't come by and break them because they're stupid like David Strathairn. Okay, have a great one, Cindy. Bye. Bye.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hey, podcast listeners. Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.co.uk/ad-free podcasts. That's amazon.co.uk/ad-free podcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In a quiet suburb, a community is shattered by the death of a beloved wife and mother. But this tragic loss of life quickly turns into something even darker. Her husband had tried to hire a hitman on the dark web to kill her. And she wasn't the only target. Because buried in the depths of the internet is the kill list, a cache of chilling documents containing names, photos, addresses, and specific instructions for people's murders. This podcast is the true story of how I ended up in a race against time to warn those whose lives were in danger. And it turns out, convincing a total stranger someone wants them dead is not easy. Follow Kill List on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Kill List and more Exhibit C true crime shows like Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Check out Exhibit C in the Wondery app for all your true crime listening.
So, meanwhile, Daisy is like, Donnie, I checked the table. Your wine glasses were just the opposite way around. And she's like, no, they were again. She goes, water. So, look, this is how to do it, because that's what you drank first. And then, usually have white. So I can see why you did that. because first is last and last is first, depending on which way you're looking at it. If you're looking at it from the other way, maybe it makes sense to you, but it's wrong. All right. She's like, oh, my odd form. This is my odd form. I'm like, for someone who literally sobbed last week because your art form of table decorating wasn't being celebrated enough, and you don't know which side the glasses go on, girl, get out of here with your phony art form. Your resume is as believable as Cloyce's at this point.
Yeah. She goes, well, that's what I learned in Steve's school. I'm like, you probably learned it incorrectly. They probably taught you one way, and you probably didn't listen because you were too busy cheerleading and being like, I have male attention. So Daisy, cheerleading at the Stu's school football games. So Daisy.
napkin folding, you can do it.
It's like, instead of like, give me a C, give me an O, it's like, give me a napkin, give me a wine glass. So Daisy.
Be aggressive when you do laundry.
Be polite, always to the guests. Be polite.
You've got time to lean. You've got time to clean. Whoa.
Brr, whoa. It's cold in here. Must be time to adjust the temperature for the guests to the climate that they prefer.
Whoa, I'm ironing pants. I'm going to fold a towel into an elephant. Mm-mm.
My team is an alligator, and we are going to actually reveal ourselves to actually just be a very fancy napkin that was rolled up for a tablescape.
All right, they're sliding. I'm going to say that now. This team is sliding, guys. We need to get back into rehearsal. Right, all of us.
We need some better cheers. Could someone get Peter from Northwestern?
Seriously.
No, honestly, that Stu's school needs a better cheer squad. Daisy is like, Don is like soul sensitive. That makes me nervous because I'm pretty direct. I want to make people feel good, which is why I say, what are you doing? And so, you know, I don't want to have energy to constantly be like, you're doing an amazing job. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. I don't like fluffy bullshit. I like fluffy pita bread. But everybody needs to be managed differently. The only person that should be crying in this boat is me. And I will. Boo-hoo.
I mean, how can you not love Daisy? Are there people who don't love Daisy? I mean, I know that there are, but how can you just not love her? I love her. I love her grumpy ass.
She's
probably 30 years old, and she just, I think her personality just makes her like nearing 60 and just over. She's the Frances McDormand character. And I didn't even watch that movie.
You
but
did
she's
it?
Every Frances McDormand. No, because everybody's like, it's just depressing and
oh,
and
it
sad.
Is. It's depressing and so sad. I love it.
Yeah, my life is already depressing and sad. I need things that are not depressing and sad.
No, you'll like it. You'll cry. You'll love it.
Yeah. she's already got that, like, there's a lot going on here. Hola. What do you need? La cama. Acá. La grande. El grande. Not la. Sorry, I misgendered the box. Did you hear that?
This is very bad.
That's an El Grande, not a La Grande. Don't misgender me, said the box. El Caja was like, bitch. Okay. So yeah, Daisy.
The stink in the podcast.
this is by the way, the biggest clusterfuck all day. There's repairmen circling this guy. He's gonna do that right there too, which is great. Okay, so so yeah, Daisy is like near, she's just so grumpy, and she's just, I think she's a cherub, isn't she? She's like 28 or something, and she's already like got cigarettes dangling from her mouth, like, the only one who can cry here is me.
I know. I love it. Again, though, I do want Faye to, they need to find a spot for Faye on one of these franchises. At this point, Faye's child has to be about 6 years old, so just put Faye somewhere.
6 years old? She had it like 2 seconds ago. Also, let's just normalize bringing children to work. Every other job you get to do it. People bring their fucking dogs to the office. I think Faye's baby could come on. The baby will always be in lipstick and have its hair done.
I have to imagine that, like, someone who works on Below Deck listens to our podcast and must hear our constant pleas for Faye. That's why I put this in here. I'm advocating for Faye. Bring Faye back. Don't replace Daisy. Keep Daisy. Just, I'm saying that, like, we have so many really good chief stews right now that, like, the last piece of the puzzle is Faye.
Yeah, Faye never really got her chance to blossom, I feel like.
Exactly.
So, but she also chose a baby Hannah over TV stardom.
Always welcome back. Sorry, just want to mention that. I feel like it should be mentioned.
Still, yeah, obviously. Obviously a place in all collective hearts, I would assume. So, let's see. Now, Deck Team and Diana are coming back with guests, and now it's time to sit for lunch. Good luck with that, people. Good luck.
Well, guess what? They're sitting down. They're hungry. They've just been swimming all afternoon. And as we all know, when you go swimming, you whip up a huge appetite. And they sit down and they're ready for some food because it's like 4:30 or something like that. And guess who's not ready with his food? It's Cloyce. Because guess what? Chicken and salmon together, especially when you need to shower, take more than 20 minutes to come together.
Go figure.
It's taking forever. And Daisy's just staring like, I told you so. And they're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And then they're like, wow. Well, it's almost like dinner time. This is like Linner, you know, like the Taco Bell commercials when they say Linner. That's what this is.
Like Linner. I'm so starving. God, we haven't eaten for about 2 hours. I'm literally dying. I feel like I haven't eaten for 19 years. I mean, on this boat, you guys just had muffins, croissants, eggs. What else did we see them eating? I don't understand how people on these boats can eat so much. I'm a chubby person and I can't eat that much. They just keep going and going and going and going. It's actually kind of a dream come true. But anyway, they're hungry. He doesn't have their food. Nobody's shocked, you know. And Daisy just keeps Daisy. You know what I love about Daisy? Also, she's so helpful and she's like always there to help. So what she does in this way, she stands there right in front of him while he's trying to get things done. And she goes, can I take anything? Is there anything ready? There's nothing ready. Nothing. There's nothing ready. Well, is there anything? Is there anything to eat? Can I give them any? Are these napkins? Are they edible? What if I gave them some floor tiles? Do you think they could eat that? It's like, fucking goddamn, get out of here.
She's just pantomiming, bringing things up. She's like, well, I've got nothing to hold. So this is, I'm not trying to make you feel bad about your time management, but I'll just carry this air up to the guests.
I'll just pretend I'm serving them so I could feel like I'm doing something. May I bring you some more chicken, ma'am? Oh, it's not ready yet? God damn it, I'm mad again. Now I'm imaginary, Matt. I'm mad at both real chicken and imaginary chicken. Thanks a lot, Cloyce. And Cloyce, imaginary Cloyce as well. Fuck both of you.
And the chicken of the sea, too. Fuck you, tuna. So Cloyce is like, I'm infrequently wrong, but I did underestimate my timing. So, you know, everything's my fault, which is awesome. I love that. So they're finally getting their lunch 15 minutes later. Luckily, I mean, 15 minutes, not the end of the world, but like that lunch was supposed to be ready right there, you know? And so they are, they're being served. And then Emma's checking in and she's like, Daisy, are you okay? I'm having an emo moment, so if you want to ask me if I'm okay. Yeah, are you okay? Oh, thank God for asking me. It's just not been good. It's just been having a fucking... I've been fucking up all day long.
Well, I feel like you tricked me into asking that. I normally know better than to ask that, and now I've been fucked. So go ahead and tell me what the fuck is wrong with you. And she's like, there was just some miscommunication between me and Gary, where I was expecting to say, Emma, what a wonderful job. You finally become your sister. And instead he said, you're a fucking loser. What's your sister's phone number? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's awful.
I just feel like a maniac, like one of 10,000 maniacs right now. So Daisy's like, oh, okay. So Keith and Danny are talking, which is about as boring as you can imagine. We'll just move forward from that. And then Glenn is radioing for someone to take care of the tender. And Daisy's talking to Danny. And she's like, you want to start setting up for dinner? It's going to be a mermaid theme. And Glenn is like, hey, by the way, guys, guests over there. Okay, while you're enjoying your dinner, I don't know if you can see it, but there's a jagged rock over there. And that's an island. It's called Esvedra. And there's no one living there, but they say it's haunted by mermaids.
I'm like, that's right up my alley. Let's go at night. He's like, you want to go to a haunted island at night? You're scaring me, lady. Mm-hmm. You're the one wanting to take people to a haunted mermaid. I mean, a haunted island's bad enough, but mermaids? What are they going to do? Waddle after you?
Yeah, not in this boat. You're not going near anything haunted with this boat, okay? Kiddie pool only. Because this boat only takes like one pebble to be thrown at it before it goes under. So let's not
this
get near the haunted
spirits. This
boat is
scarier than the ghosts. Trust me. The ghost, the mermaids are like, get the move the house. He's going to crash into it.
Yeah, they don't know. Those mermaids see Gary coming. They're like, uh-oh. Someone call mermaid HR. So then Clois is, he's ordered a cake for the birthday tonight because this lady is celebrating 60. Now, this is funny because I believe, was it last season on Below Deck Med, when Jono made that ice cream, like the cake on top of the ice cream or the ice cream on top of the cake and everything, was that for a 60th anniversary as well?
Or 60th birthday?
Big. 60th birthday or 50th anniversary? Whatever.
Yeah, I don't even remember my own 60th birthday. So,
anyway, Clois, for this big landmark birthday, has bought a cake from a random bakery in town.
Yeah, it's like, yep, yeah, and we got the captain tonight. So it's not only a special occasion, he's also serving the captain, and he knows it. And he's still bought a fucking cake. And she's like, well, you could be using this time to do something a bit elevated. He's like, I'll make a little whipped cream, berries, go with it. Boom, elevation. She's like, well, it's up to you. You're the chef. And this is where I settle in with some popcorn and watch a fail.
Yeah. The most important part of the chart is the food. And that's what the tip is based on. So if he's going to serve the shitty cake that he got from some shitty bakery, it's not a good look. It's her 60th. Like, make a cake.
So Keith and Fanny are flirting, and it's painful because this is the obligatory, someone has to flirt on this boat or you're all fired, right? So this is the one that they're trying to make happen. And he's like, Danny is an incredibly charming person. I actually really like her, but I'm very sensitive, you know, and she's just very surface level. And relationships only start when I feel real chemistry. And you can imagine me, I'm basically a wad of white cookie dough, some sugar cookie dough. So basically, I'm waiting for a bit of plain sugar to sprinkle on top. God, we're going to make a delicious dessert.
Shortbread is a good comparison for him. He really does have that shortbread kind of vibe. Like, okay, you make a perfectly nice cookie. Yeah, their flirtation is funny because he doesn't seem to be interested whatsoever. And she's like, so how's it going? And he's like, sorry, I gotta get to work. She's like, oh my god, he's playing hard to get. So then
he's not that into you, okay lady. He's literally into the next chair she sees. She's like, oh my god, is that a chair? I'm gonna sit on its face so good right now. Wait until you see it. Like, calm down over there, okay? Make the man feel special. Doesn't he deserve a little romance in his life? Come on.
You know, in college, when I lost a lot of weight, I got so much attention from cheers. It was out of control. I loved it. So Davide goes to get this mermaid, and he has to, like, carry her. Like, she puts on her tail, and he has to carry her to, like, he deposits her, like, on the little swim dock thing, that floating dock, and she's just sort of there on the edge, and he's like, oh, as an engineer, sometimes you have a bit of downtime, and during the evening, I help every department, you know, and generally speaking, I don't mind being the boat beach. I am lucky with the mermaid. We also got married on the Tinder.
So then, Daisy is like, Dami, after you do your cocktails, you're doing cabins, yeah? And she's like, oh, he's going to do service now, talking about... you know, Gary's going to do service now. This whole charter, I've been in the laundry room with the cabins or setting the table, and I haven't done, like, any service. And today, and Gary's like, no, next job will be different, won't it? It'll be totally different. You'll do what you'd like next charter.
Oh, did turn out last night? And Danny's like, oh, I did. And he's like, oh, yeah, Diana, so you all do the cabins tonight. And she's like, but why am I doing cabins? I've done two today. And she goes like, and Danny's like, oh, I did it. And she's like, and then Diana's like, I did it in the morning. So they're squabbling about doing cabins, which, by the way, this is all Danny's fault because Daisy told her to do something. And then she's being like, oh, but I did it twice. I want to be on service. I kind of feel like Danny is a little brat, to be honest. She cried about the tacky, like having to do a quote-unquote tacky tablescape. Now she's complaining about her assignment. She's like a little, she's a little,
she's
brat.
A disaster.
Yeah,
she's a disaster. Spoiled. And she told us, you know, people show you who they are right away, you know, and she told us that she needs constant attention. I mean, she made it into male attention, but she needs constant approval and attention from literally everybody around her. And it's, you know, that's not how life works. Okay. No. Most of us are not paying attention. I don't want to have to pay attention to you. I'm busy. Okay. Yeah.
So, and then Diana also made the mistake by starting the season saying that she loves housekeeping, because once you say that, then you get put in housekeeping. And it's been like very few stews have actually said that they love housekeeping and then they do actually love housekeeping. There's been like one or two across all the franchises that have stayed in, like said that they love it, stayed in it all season long and have been happy to do so. But Diana is more of the classic type that says that they love housekeeping, but then they secretly just want to be up on deck with the guests. So now she's mad and Daisy's like, put you on the housekeeping queen. You love housekeeping. She's like, I don't care. I don't care. Oh, you know, whatever. And so she hops off.
Yeah, and so Diane is like, forget the queen of housekeeping. Like, I'm tired of making beds and cleaning poop, okay? And Danny says, I'm not going down without a fight. I'm going to go down kicking and screaming here. Your stews, your maids. Oh, my God.
Your job description. For Christ's sake,
do what you love. You know what I mean? Do what you love. Like, I'm not suggesting everybody should love cleaning a toilet, but, like, getting this pissed about doing cabins is weird. At this point. And also, you already got to set a table incorrectly. I mean, Daisy should have been like, well, listen, I'm ready to have you follow your dreams of tablescaping, but unfortunately, you're still making mistakes like putting glasses on the wrong side of the table. So you're down and you're down, you know, cut her down a little bit and then send her down. Then she can cry while she does it. You know, she'll get a little extra salt in the toilet to help with the rings.
Precisely. So Cloyce is cooking and he's just trying to raise the bar since he messed up earlier in the day, and the captain is eating with them. So he's trying to be like super flawless and everything. And then Daisy's bringing out these mermaid martinis. They're all happy. The guests, by the way, took photos with the mermaid, which was, I thought, so funny. They're led down to the floaty platforms. The mermaid's just sort of sitting there randomly and they're like one by one going and taking photos with her. It made really very little sense. So
it's such an odd job, isn't it? That mermaid. She was like, oh my God, hi, I'm mermaid. Huh? And so she comes out and she does kind of like that Real Housewives of Beverly Hills from years ago where they had a mermaid and they just were flopping around crazily on the ground. And she does that. She kind of flops her leg. And then she does this thing like their dance moves where she starts flipping her tail up and then like touching her tail. Like, look like, at me, touching my toes, touching my tail. And then everybody was like kind of cheering.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she splashed water on her head. And then she jumped in the water and they went, oh, my God, she's swimming. And then she like swam a lap and then came back and sat down like she just did something great. I'm like, lady, you touched your toes and you swam in a lap. What kind of life is that? That you're like, this is my job now.
Yeah,
I'm
also,
gonna go
why did you
flop around on a boat and I'm gonna charge $400.
Yeah.
You go.
So why did you not start in the water? Like, you're a mermaid. Like, wouldn't that have been more delightful? Like, what's going on? Oh my God, there's a mermaid in the water. Unless my theory that I'm gonna hatch right now is that like she really liked her hair, so she wanted to have a mermaid moment with her hair done right, and then she got in the water. But I kind of feel like thematically they should have gone down and been like, oh my God, there's a mermaid right there.
I think she like should have come out walking and been like, hi, I'm just a normal princess. I hope nothing bad happens. And then she goes into the water and then comes out with the tail, you know? Remember how that like happened?
Splash.
And Splash, that movie from the 80s. And so, yeah, the water turns them into a mermaid. Oh, I would love that.
I wish if she was like, happy birthday, Amy. I love you from head to, what do you call him? Feet.
Also, these ladies really love the mermaid action. I act here like I'm really tough to please, but in real life, no, I still am tough to please. I would have been like, this is stupid, get me out of here. Why are you wasting my time with this? Was there no mariachi band? Like, I would have been upset. But
what about mariachi, you know, mermaids?
Yeah, but if it was going to be the mermaid, I would be like, okay, these ladies are like, wow, a mermaid. It's a mermaid, everybody. Can you believe it? Dana, Pam, Eloise, Shelley, it's a mermaid. Yay, mermaids.
Not Dana Pam. That is a throwback. I don't know if you intended that or not. But
Dana Pam's still current. She's the one who outed all the Lisa Barlow,
of course.
Whitney you know, Whitney of it all on Salt Lake City, the Alibaba of it all.
I meant just referring to her as Dana Pam. I had not thought of that in a long time.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Have you ever wondered who created that bottle of sriracha that's living in your fridge? Or why nearly every house in America has at least one game of Monopoly? Introducing the best idea yet, a brand new podcast from Wondery and T-Boy about the surprising origin stories of the products you're obsessed with and the bold risk takers who brought them to life. Like, did you know that Super Mario, the best-selling video game character of all time, only exists because Nintendo couldn't get the rights to Popeye? Or Jack, that the idea for the McDonald's Happy Meal first came from a mom in Guatemala? From Pez dispensers to Levi's 501s to Air Jordans, discover the surprising stories of the most viral products. Plus, we guarantee that after listening, you're going to dominate your next dinner party. So follow the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the best idea yet early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. It's just the best idea yet.
Either way, they're like all about the mermaid stuff. So they're having dinner with Glenn. They're like, how old are you, Glenn? And he's like, oh, I'm 63. And they're like, oh my God, you look like you're 21. These girls are so horny, as evidenced in a few minutes when they try to corner DJ Elliot in the hot tub. So,
DJ Elliot, what a prize. Yeah.
I know. He's like an off-brand Joao. So Diana is like, know. Diana and Danny are cleaning together.
As per se.
Sorry. I was like, where's Breaker? I don't know, girl. Go ask Jose. Okay. Don't ask me.
So Diana and Danny are cleaning and they kind of like, they smooth things over. And Diana's like, she's like, I'm sorry I made you come. Or I guess Danny is the one who's like, sorry I made you have to come down here. She's like, no, dude, I don't care. Sorry, I said that earlier. So they like bury the hatchet. And the producers are like, so are you guys frenemies? And Danny's like, I didn't think they'd be frenemies. And Dana's like, no, we're not. We don't. We're friends. Except that I hate the stupid fucking bitch. And then Danny's like, I take it back. We're frenemies.
Yeah. So then Gary comes back in the DJ with the DJ and looks around for Emma. Meanwhile, Clois is like, well, I've decided to order a cake for this charter because I hate fucking making cakes. Isn't that hilarious? Super yacht chef. So yeah, as an older woman, I'm expecting she wants her birthday to consist of mostly drinking because nobody in their 60s is super stoked to like blow out some candles. You just want a party. No,
I don't.
That's not. Let me guarantee you that that's not the case. Here's what we want. I'm not even in my 60s, and I can tell you what we want. Cake. Cake. We want fucking cake. I've made it this long. Give me all the diabetes. Frost it. I don't care. Put ice cream on it. I would have eaten Jono's fucking cake pieces on a cookie with ice cream. Whatever.
It's your birthday. You're licensed to cake. Licensed to cake.
What do you think they're going to go get parting, dick? They're on a boat with you, loser. Get them some cake.
Yeah, no, she's happy to blow out those candles. I think when you're like 29 or when you're like, or 29 or you're about to turn 30, you're like, you don't want to blow out the candles because you're like, oh my God, I'm about to turn 30. I'm going to lose my 20s. And maybe also when you're in your 30s, you don't want to turn 40. But I kind of think that like going onward, you're just happy to have candles to blow out, you know, like add those candles on there. Like I made it to another candle and I will blow it out and have a slice of cake too.
Yeah, but don't give me like multiple candles. Just put one. I feel like after a certain age, I don't want like a whole. Also, because you know what people are doing now that's so disgusting? They're blowing out their candles again. I don't want your spit all over the cake. Did we learn nothing? How long have we been out of a pandemic and you people are blowing your spit all over the cake? Fucking gross. It was my dad's birthday and I took out the candle and handed it to him to blow and everyone acted like I was sacrilegious. Like, how could you? It's like, it's polite. I don't want to eat my dad's spit. Aren't we thinking differently now? Oh, yeah. Fuck.
No, I agree. So this is I don't love this theory by Clois. So here's what he does. I think he's thinking he's going to try to make it feel like it's a fresh cake by putting it in the oven to warm it up a little bit. So he puts it in the oven and then he takes it out and now it's like over like it's melty and stuff. Everything, it's lost its structure. And so he tips it out of the whatever it was in. And now it's a goop. It's a big goopy thing. And it looks like it fell on the floor. And he's now putting it on a cake pedestal. And Daisy's like, "You cannot serve that." And he's like, "That's a weak attitude." So he goes about and starts decorating it. And so he's putting frosting, like dollops around it to make it look almost like a wedding cake, but it's just kind of like an igloo. It's like a sad frosting igloo that's very flat, like a poorly constructed igloo.
It is. It's sad. And then he thinks it's fine. He's like, "Well, we're not serving it like this. We're going to serve it like this." And it looks even worse now, covered in shit, you know? You can't put lipstick on a pig. And so Cloyce is like, "Oh God, this is not how I want to end the meal, but you know, call me Chef Antoinette and let them eat cake." You know, being like, not being stressed out is a good quality, right? If everything's going stressed and you can just like kind of laugh things off, but not when you're the one causing everybody the stress. That's not the time to be laughing shit off. You loser. This guy's pissing me off now. I liked him at first.
It's fine to be even keeled, but it's not fine to be cavalier. And so Daisy is like,
"Well, thank you. Yes.
Yeah." Daisy's this angle now. Agreed. You, Ronnie, you look like a child in the back seat. Like, "Mom, when are you gonna be here?" So Daisy is like, "He tried to take a shortcut, period. He was being lazy, period. He ordered a shitty cake, period. And he microwaved it. It looks like a pile of dog shit and it's horrific."
Yeah, so she's trying to plan different ways. Like, maybe we'll play with the DJ and then they won't realize that there's a bad cake there. And so they're trying to figure that out. And so she goes to get the guests and tells them that the DJ's ready. So they go up and dance with DJ Jazzy J or whatever. And they're like, party.
DJ Elliot.
DJ Elliot. And they drink from a giant champagne bottle. You're like, respect DJ Elliot.
Yeah, no relationship to T.S. Elliot. Just want to point that out. But perhaps related to the kid from E.T.
Oh, Elliot. Elliot. So she's like, "Oh, look, if they want DJ Elliot in the hot tub, I'm all here for it." Because sure enough, they're like, "DJ Elliot, you want to go in the hot tub?" He's like, "Sure, I'm DJ Elliot."
"Anything you want, ladies."
Yelp review. So he whips off that shirt and gets that keg into the hot tub.
Did you mention that the cake came out? And by the way, they bring the cake up in slices, so there's not even like a presentation of this cake with a candle in it, which I think is like, I would be pissed if that was my birthday. I'd be like, I want to have my moment with the candles where I can feel like Queen of the Mermaids.
And this nobody even touches the cake.
This truly was a big miss cake.
He's lucky he doesn't get murdered
for his miss cake. So DJ Elliot is in the hot tub and everyone's like, "Oh my God, DJ Elliot." And
he's like, "Remember that time I played that Justin Bieber song? That was cool, right?" Like,
"Yeah, oh my God.
Oh my God." The part where I went, "Huh? Oh my God, I love that." He's like, "Baby, baby, baby. Ah, you know what I'm doing, right?"
No. So the DJ is hanging out with them and stuff in the hot tub. And then now it's time for bed. Everyone goes to bed. And she's like, "Oh, wow, what a fucking day. I think if we have time to go for a swim on a break, then you could have been making a fresh birthday cake like you did that bare minimum. Do you understand? Do you understand? That's the kind of incompetence I'm dealing with." "Well, what would you think if someone did everything you wanted and really wanted to be at their job? You'd be grateful for that? Well, Gary's not. Which is the predicament I live in. I am that sad, failed, microwaved, unfrosted cake. Let me tell you who's a frosted cake. My sister. She's a frosted cake right in front on a pie plate, standing in front of the entire department store to ogle at and marvel at. And where's me? A crushed, soggy, soggy cake on a paper plate, uneaten by the locals."
Not just a soggy cake. A wet... what's a good word for it? Sprocket? Like... Toad the wet sprocket. That's what I am. Sorry, I just got the blues. And yet I'm traveling. I'm like a blues traveler at the moment. So,
well, I'm real glad I fucking asked you. This has been real fun for me. Thanks a lot, Emma. God,
is it me or does it feel like Joan Osborne in here? Get out of my face.
I was like, where have all the cowboys gone?
So, meanwhile, it's the morning and Daisy's like, let's prep some lemon juice and lime juice. And Diana's like, what do you want to use the lime juice for? She's like, margaritas. She goes, oh, I have to see the margarita recipe again. And Daisy's like, harrr. And she's like, you know what? Maybe one post-charter, every crew can come up to the bar and request one cocktail, and you two can practice them and learn how to make them from the crew. For instance, this way I don't have to teach you how to make a rum and Diet Coke, even though it's really in the name entirely.
So she's like, this will be fun. This is a fun way for them to learn and experience bartending. Good luck with that. So yeah. Then Gary is trying to get, he's like, Emma, we need to get the skin line tight. Because I told you to get it tight. And it's not tight. Right now it's not tight. So please make it tight. So please make it tighter.
Look how much you're losing of the tension. Yes, Emma. And Emma's like, Emma's just sitting there. Like, all right, fine, show me what you want, but I'm going to finish this ciggy first. And, like, he's, like, pulling his butt, his whole body's like, you got to pull like this, Emma. Pull the rope, pull the line like this. She's like, all right. She's like, you understand? Or, you're still saying, She's like, I'm tired. I hate my sister.
He's like, it's the first thing you learn when you learn working on boats. And she's worked on boats for years. Does she not care? Does she not know? I'm at wit's end on what to do with Emma. And Emma's just like, I've been beaten down and unappreciated. There's nothing tied more loosely and incorrectly than an uninspired Emma.
I sure do miss the days of real estate, martini and cocktail dresses, am I right? So
it was so difficult selling homes in Milwaukee while working upon a boat in Hawaii. I didn't really think that one through, unfortunately. It's another time when I was treated with respect and not really honored for my brilliant forthcoming new ideas how to sell real estate. Great.
So now they dock. And or they have actually already been docked. And so it's time to say goodbye to the guests. Amy's like, I just want to say thank you guys so much. I could never have imagined having a 60th birthday party without a cake. But you showed me that it can be done. And I'm unsatisfied. So I'm going to go to a cake. I hear there's a bakery that has functional cakes that are structurally sound. I'm going to go check that out. So thank you so much. Also, does anyone have DJ Elliott's number? My daughter is really hot to go for him.
So now they're turning over the boat and all that before tip meeting, and Daisy's like, all right, I'm just flagging this, Glenn. Sit down, Glenn. He's like, okay. Glenn, I'm flagging it now. The chef's the problem. All right, he's the problem. And I like him, and I do want him to succeed, but A, he's in love with me. He wants me to have his children. I can see it in his eyes. B, he served pizza today just to flirt with me because they were fluffy. And I told him, you're not manipulate. Did you notice he was serving
pizza? He did serve pizza. Yeah, he served pizza.
Yeah, like, non-fluffy pizzas. All right, I'll give you points for that one.
And Glenn's like, well, it's not really his place to be out there swimming too, by the way. Yeah. And there's time that, you know, that is time that he could have been elevating the meal. He could have been making bread for breakfast. He could have been making a 60th birthday cake. He could have been shelling peas. He could have been designing wallpaper to put up in the galley to make it look nicer. Anything, really. Balloon animals, learn something.
He's like, well, to be honest, what I've seen from him so far, I think he can do it. When did this turn come? You were ready to kill him a minute ago. Do I need to hand you a radio for you to have a pair of huevos here?
I can't help it. I'm Canadian. I'm just a nice guy.
The forgiveness just washes over me like a red maple leaf in the fall.
Oh, I can only go so long before saying sorry. So Daisy is like, Daisy's
sorry, like,
All right, you pussy. I'm happy to try to handle it myself. Here's what I'll do. I'll say, Cloyce, get over here. The next thing that out of your mouth better be, I'm making pita or I'm going home. All right? I don't want to hear anything else.
we'll try to handle it in a way that's going to get what we want, which is for him to take all this on board and make improvements.
And by the next charter, if he hasn't improved, that's when you come in. He's like, okay, absolutely. I love that Daisy's running the whole boat. But here's what we're going to do, team.
So Danny goes up to Keith. He goes, Keith, I left a present in your bed. And he's like, what is it? Some undies and some pants. Oh, your undies? Do you want mine? I'll do that. You can say that. Oh my God, stop flirting with me. This is too much male attention.
So then Glenn is radioing everybody. He's like, oh no, so now it's tip meeting. He's like,
that crew, I just wanted to say thanks for Floatopia. That was life-changing, wasn't it? People are never going to forget Floatopia. It's going to be a new thing. We're going to do it every other week now. Below decks for year to year for every franchise.
I was so excited to see the sloth giving at the DMV, but I realized that was Zootopia. So it was exciting to find out that Floatopia was a completely different thing.
Daisy, great job once again keeping the guests happy with one eye cocked like Popeye while you were strong-arming the cast, choking out two of the girls at the same time. Cloyce, keep in mind professionalism. You're here to give guests five-star meals and not to play on the water toys, okay?
By the way, I want to say the Under the Sea party, that was a lot of fun. Even though it wasn't under the sea and there was really nothing about it that suggested that it was under the sea. I mean, there was a mermaid that was below the actual meal, so it was actually like the meal was above the sea at that point. And there were some blue cocktails, which had nothing to do really with anything. But anyway, good job, everyone, with Under the Sea.
Let's measure sea depth next time. What do they call that? Like above sea elevation? What do they call that?
So let's drown the passengers. Sorry, Daisy's pushing me to be a little bit more impolite. So... it's a good idea, everyone. I think we should look into it. So Glenn is like, so Cloyce, yeah, you're going on playing with the water toys. That's something I've never seen a chef do in a situation like that, okay? So I'd like to see you have as much time as you need in the galley. You know, you could have made better use of your time. Okay, you just got Glenned. Look at that. Okay, everyone, calm down. I know that was really intense.
Yeah, you want a hug? Come on, let's hug. I'm going to shake your hand while I hug you. So it's okay.
And Cloyce is like, that was a bit harsh, but I did fuck up, and it's good to be humbled, and it's good to have a little wake-up call. Can't wait to party with the next guest. God.
So their tip is $25,000, which, that's like $10,000 more than Dr. Contessa, right? Because didn't Dr. Contessa leave $15,000?
Oh, that was pathetic. That was like the lowest tip we've seen.
It was so low.
Years? Dare I say years?
And, yes. One might have said, well, she's not on TV anymore, so maybe she's got to, mind those purse strings. But one thing that we've learned is Dr. Contessa is coming back to Married to Medicine. So all you Contessa heads out there. Mm-hmm.
Why? Why would they do that?
Because America, if there's anything we learned about Below Deck Sailing and now the new season of Married to Med, America wants their Dr. Contessa.
God, they're like, you know what? This isn't boring enough. You know what I feel? This season has been so entertaining with that Dr. Contessa. What we should do is bring her back. Let's, we really need an anchor we just need something to sink this fucking boat. Okay. Why don't you bring back Dr. Contessa? Boring.
She's only gone for one season, too. And she's like, I'm back. I was like, you were hardly gone enough for you to have the I'm back. So, yeah. So now Daisy's like, the girls need to practice cocktails, so they're going to make you all one cocktail each. So see the girls, and they'll give you your order, and they'll be ready by 6:30. Cocktail session is on.
And Danny's like, please be nice, because we also kind of want to get walking. We're not spending the whole time behind the bar making you drinks. We'd like to go out too and have a good time, right? So don't keep us here all day long. If I serve you Diet Coke, call it a margarita, and I'll probably make out with you later. You're lucky. Right, I know there's a line going around the block waiting for that.
But also, you guys were shitty with your cocktails. And instead of, this is your punishment. You don't get to be like, but we want to be at, off time too. No, you don't get your off time. Because you should have been prepping for your job. And you weren't. Yeah. So guess what? You have to make cocktails for everyone.
Sorry, I need some extension cord.
What's going on now?
He needs an extension cord, but it's plugged into my car.
There's a person on the camera. I see someone else.
Yes, you bastard. How are you doing? Okay.
I can only imagine what these people working on Ronnie's house think about him right now. He's in a car recording.
Well, these ones are new, too. They're just circling. They don't know what I'm doing. They just hear me yelling and screaming in different voices, and they keep looking into the car like, what the fuck is going on out there? These Americans are crazy, crazy people.
Do you have enough power to get through the rest of the podcast?
I've got 64%.
Well, there's not much left, which is
yeah, I'm fine.
So now it's evening, and so Danny and Diana are behind the bar, and they're making cocktails for everyone. And Danny is like, "Hey, what cocktail would you like?" And so someone asks for a margarita, someone asks for Bloody Mary, and Diana's getting frustrated because in her mind she's like, "I am off. Why do I have to work right now?" So she goes, "I'm just going to do yours, and then I don't care. I don't think this idea was great. I don't like this. Not the best, not the worst. I just don't, you know, I don't care. Here you go. Here's a drink. Enjoy it. It's just lighter fluid. Okay, enjoy. I'm going to go. I'm not doing this anymore. I do love you all, but no, I will not make cocktails." Girl, these are the easiest cocktails. And honestly, I think that if you were a good stew, this would be like a breeze to do this. And it actually might even be kind of fun. I don't know. But either way, like, if you don't want to do it, then do the work ahead of time.
How to do your job. You know what I mean? Yeah. Learn your drinks. And she's like, "But I deserve rest too." Okay, but they're not making you work a 10-hour shift at the Piggly Wiggly. You know what I mean?
You're making six cocktails.
Smile through a couple of drinks. What the hell?
Yeah, exactly.
Of course, you know, the second we're done, I'm like, boom. I mean, if anybody texts us
I know.
2 seconds after we're done, we're like, it can wait. All right. We're very
1 hour
we're exhausted.
Silence. Dome of like, no one's talking to me.
We literally sit here and laugh for 2 hours straight. And then we're like, we're done. That was exhausting.
I am done. I'm sitting on my sofa right now, and I'm going to read articles about board games.
Oh, I can't sit on my sofa because fucking Joybird is still failing at it. Thanks a lot, Joybird. You know, Joybird sucks. Go ahead.
Please do the Joybird rant. I've been wanting you. I want you to do the Joybird rant. Tell everyone.
No, I'll give it. I'll give it a day. We should get through this.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Joybird, you're on my shit list. Joybird.
No one buys shit from Joybird. TLDR.
Cute couch, but they're a ripoff, and they're going to try and steal all your money after not delivering your shit. So watch out for them.
Joybird is a fraud. Do not purchase from them.
Boo, okay. Joybird.
So
sad bird. That's what you're called. Joyless bird. You are a joyless bird, joy bird.
How about sad reptile? Okay. Because you're not a bird. And you're not joyful.
Yeah. Joy bird. Buttheads. Okay, so let's see. So now Danny's like, "Why she can't just have a good attitude about it. I mean, we're just having fun, make some drinks. I mean, it's not like someone's criticizing a tablescape. Oh, God, someone's criticizing my table. I cannot be tacky.
It's my work. I can't be tacky." She's worried about her tacky tablescape, and then she's wearing that robin's egg, like, blue thing on her top. I'm like, you know what? Like, we need to change our priorities. So Daisy is... Sassy Ben has arrived, everyone. So Daisy is... she's like, "Danny, can I have a classic margarita on the rocks? No sauce, please." So Danny gives it to her like in like a martini glass. She's like, "Babe, just so you know, if it's on the rocks, it needs to be in a, you know, a tumbler. This would be a martini with no ice. You shouldn't be serving a margarita in a martini glass in the first place, by the way. What the fuck is wrong with you? You're complaining to me about tacky tablescapes and you can't even use the right glassware. Second time in an episode."
That's funny. By the way, no, it's a fucking martini. You're fired. Is there anybody who knows how to do anything on these boats anymore? I'm terrified to go on these boats. I'm never going to go on. They purposely hire people who don't know what they're doing. Who doesn't know what on the rocks means? That's not even a bartender thing.
No. On the rocks, also known as how Gary drives a tender. So Danny is like...
It's also a bunch of ladies before they died and became ghosts on a spooky island.
So Danny's like, "Who the fuck's Diana? I thought we were doing this together. Now I have to fucking stand here doing everything my own, you know?" And so she's upstairs sulking and complaining. And Daisy goes up there and she's like, "Diana, you left Diana to do them all on your own. You're doing them all next time." And she goes, "I've done one. Why do I have to work? That's the thing. Like, she's not working. Like, why do I have to fucking work, man?"
And Gary's like, "Where are you going? Where are you going? Don't go there."
Do not go where you're going now. You go there later and not now. You're going to the wrong place. And she's like, well, oh, Danny's like, are you coming? She's abandoned me and I'm just like doing this all by myself here. I mean, it's very difficult. Some people want ice in their drinks. Some people don't. They're calling ice rocks. It's disgusting. Mayhem up here. Complete fucking mayhem. I've got about 30 people trying to get in my pants right now. Am I right? Anyone?
So, yeah, Diana is like, she's like, I don't know why Danny told Daisy that she needed help when she knew where I was. Like, if you don't like something, talk to me. I'm like, no, you don't get to be the victim here. You walked off from your assignment. And then Daisy was like, where's Danny? And Danny's like, Diana left. That's on you, Diana. You abdicated your role there. And now you're upset that some, like, you didn't, honestly, I don't even think that Danny really threw her under the bus that much. And honestly, Danny deserved to throw her under the bus because she left Danny to do all the work. So now she's like, I don't want to work, so I'm going to make Danny do all the work. That's not fair. Diana, you deserve the bus.
So then she complains right to Danny. She's like, well, then Daisy passed through and she said that you said that I wasn't working. And she's like, but it's true though. Moody bitch. She's like, I'm not in the mood. So then Emma's like, should I go check on Diana? Seems like the only person who's crying more than me on the inside right now. Be quite lovely. Can we ask Diana and Danny to see how they do tying some ropes so I'm not the only failure in the world? Oh, by the way, everybody, I heard from my sister. She sent me a text message. She's got the biggest benches with real estate signs all over town right now. I'm extremely proud of her.
She's doing so many wonderful things. So Daisy's like, can I just throw myself overboard? These girls are so sensitive every time I ask them to do anything. And I was like, I'm sorry, I think it's fucking bullshit. I just tell her to grow the fuck up. I hate these fucking sensitive bitches also. Cut to the end of the episode, Emma crying. I just don't want to be here. So
so then Daisy checks on Diana. And Diana's like, I'm mad. And she's like, why are you mad? Well, just because they're like, you left her without doing anything. She goes, oh my God, it was meant to be a stupid thing for you guys to make cocktails so you can practice. She's like, well, but we're off. And she's like, yeah, but I know, but it was supposed to be so you guys can practice. You're two girls. You're getting two in your head. All right. This is Yatin. Don't use your head.
Also, Diana is, I'm sorry, this is not working for me. You sit here and you say you want to get experience with service because you don't have a lot of experience with service. And when you do service, you're not doing it right. So Daisy gives you a chance to improve yourself so that way you can be on service more. But instead you're like, but I'm off. I don't want to apply myself in this situation. So why would Daisy ever feel motivated to put you on service when you're showing that you will not do the bare minimum it takes to learn and grow and be better at that position?
Yeah, exactly. Hello.
So
then now they go to dinner in a club, and then Keith's like, wow, it was one of the best tips I've ever seen. Danny's like, oh yeah, I want to see your tip. Is that coming anytime soon? Just a tip, am I right, sir?
All these waiters are flirting with me. And so Danny is like, I never wanted to cut my hair up so badly into this moment. It's so long. If I cut all my hair off, my head would be naked. Would you like to see me naked? Keith, stop flirting. So then Keith is like, I don't think it's that long. No, stop. You're so coy. It's so fucking long. God, nothing I do impresses you. Maybe in our old age home together when we're old and wrinkly and naked and having sex. Stop flirting.
What is she trying to... She's like, I'm going to cut my hair. How did that not impress you? She's such a weirdo. And then the bill comes, and look who's happy today. The kid takes it. He's like, I already got it, everybody. Weren't you just crying last week? I mean, I guess this is gross.
He fucked up. So now he's got to, like, compensate. So Emma, meanwhile, they're like, I think this is when they're in the bands, and Emma's talking to Diana, and Emma's like, so Diana, your reaction to Gary, do you fancy him or what do you think? She's like, no, but there's nothing to be ashamed of. He's not my type. So he is your type. No, I really don't like him. So you like him? Oh, it's devastating. This reminds me of when I was working in the fancy world of real estate. There was so much sex and romance happening. What an extravagant lifestyle that I left and became the crazy aunt to my daughter's children.
It's like, I can tell you want his dick. If you want his dick, it's fine. Just go get his dick already. You don't have to have him. You can just have your dick. She's like, what? I don't. Just, well,
apparently I'm the only unfuckable one here. I was like, oh, okay. So none of this even had to do with Danny. You're just saying you see chemistry with somebody and everybody else on the boat, except you're the only one without chemistry. So why don't you just start complaining about how nobody likes you instead of dragging everybody else into it? Because now you've made it weird with everybody else, you fucking weirdo.
Well, don't forget, on the first episode, the first night when they played Mary Fuck Kill, everyone killed Emma. And no one wanted to fuck her, theoretically. So that's still, like, hanging in there. Like, well, apparently, I'm the one that everyone wants to kill and not fuck. You don't even want to fuck my dead body. I wish one of you would be at least a little sick in the head. So they get out of
that was pretty bad.
So they get out of the van and they're like, oh my God, this crazy old lady. So Danny is like, Diana, are you okay?
Crazy old lady.
Diana's like, I'm good. And she's like, are you sure? I'm so sorry. She's like, no, it's fine. Nothing happened. So Daisy's like, what happened? I heard the word happened. So what happened? Something happened? She's not telling me. Tell Auntie Daisy. She'll fix everything. So then Danny...
She just got fucking attacked. She did. I mean, it was just drilling her. And I'm like, chill. She did not get attacked.
She did not get attacked at all.
And Danny's like, and Daisy's like, Emma's a big energy. That's why. And Danny's like, yeah, but it's pretty hectic though, Daisy. It was aggressive. Very aggressive. The only aggressive one here is you, ma'am. Okay.
Yeah, it was annoying, but not aggressive. And Daisy was, Diana was fine. She's like, oh, stupid lady. So now Daisy goes up to Emma, and Daisy's like, what the fuck did you say to the girls on the taxi? And Emma's like, what? I didn't say anything. Why would anyone even care what I have to say? Because apparently no one even wants to fuck me. So I even listened to the words coming out of my mouth.
Emma, they're petrified. What did you say to them? Look at them. They're shivering in a corner. They're terrified of you. They said the old scary, terrifying, ugly lady that no one wants to have sex with is trying to put us in an oven and eat us. She's like, how could they? This is so hurtful.
What extraordinary, terrible things to say. Yes, they said that crazy old witch with the sister who seems much more stable was coming at us. Well, she got defensive. I'm like, I'm not calling you out. I'm just curious. And they're coming to call you. I'm scared of Emma. Well, if they want to get all petulant about it, then fine. I would just not relay any more information.
So what information were you relaying?
I know.
Weirdo.
So she sits in the corner and starts to cry.
Yes, she starts crying. So then Diana checks on her. She's like, I'm fine. She goes, well, that wasn't convincing at all. And she goes, yeah, but I'm fine. I just didn't realize I upset you two so much. Now you're petrified of me, are you? Well, honestly, I'm just over this fucking game. I'm going to tell you the same thing I told the realtors and the circus owners of America. I'm over this game. I'm better than this. And if you want to hire my sister to swing from a trapeze while she's selling condos in Tahiti, fine by me. I'll be milking cows in the back for my new career. Cow milking. Fuck all of you.
And that's how it ended. Will Emma ever rebound from this moment? Will Diana and Emma bury the hatchet? Who knows?
Will Keith, the big uncooked log of cookie dough, ever get cooked? Let's find out, guys. This season on Below Deck, Sailing Yacht. Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Thank you, everyone, for being here. What a fun episode. Ronnie, good luck with your extension cord. And
thanks for your patience, Ben. Thanks, everybody, for your patience.
I enjoyed it.
I'm in the home stretch here.
Quite a bit. Don't forget to sign up for Patreon. And we'll catch you in the next episode, everyone. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, She Don't Take No Baloney.
We're fanning out for Bethany Fannin.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Aaron McNicholas, She Don't Miss No Trickolas. Jamie, She Has No Last Namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's Our Favorite Streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Ringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
Let's Give a Kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Let's Get Feely with Maggie Sheely.
Megan Berg, You Can't Have a Burger Without the Berg.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches,
Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.